That's some of my glory right over there. That is the glory that I have. Look, all you angelic hosts, look, these unworthy humans, I died for them. They accepted the payment for sin, and now they're here. In your face, angel. It's a, we are his glory. We are a part of his trophy shell. All right? And so in verse 8, you know this, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is indeed a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He tells us that we are his, Christ. We are God's workmanship and created in Christ to do or unto good works. So we're not saved by good works, but Lord, because we are saved, let us do good works. All right? Let us not be an embarrassment to our Father. All right? Let us do those things or start living like kingdom kids. Right? Live like you really know what you have in Christ Jesus. And let that be your I got a big word, it can't come out. Your very image, your personification, right? How you like that?
I had to dig it out back there.
I had to pry that one out. But anyhow, that we are to expose the goodness and the grace and the riches of God in our life, right? Everywhere we go, whatever we do, that's we're called to His righteousness. All right, for we are His work, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to be walking in the grace of God. If you call yourself a Christian, then by George, you ought to look like a Christian whenever, wherever you're at. Right? They ought to be able to look at you and say, wow, there's something different about you. That girl, no matter what I did, she would not get angry at me. I tried to pick a fight, she wouldn't fight back. Now, all she talked about was the love and the grace and the goodness of Jesus Christ. Boy, I kicked her horse, and she said, that's all right, that horse will get you back. Don't worry about it, it'll come back to you, but I'm not going to raise my voice, I'm not going to be angry at you. I'm going to love you in the middle of your mess, and that's going to show God's grace working through you. And you'll be able to draw people in with the goodness and the grace of God that He has given to you. In verse 11, this is where we'll start. And so as I laid the ground, as I laid the groundwork, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on this next portion. Father, we thank You so much for Your fulfillment of Scripture. Lord, that You have foreordained, Father, that You have put on us these things. And I pray, Father, that as we dig into Your Word tonight, Lord God, that You would just wrap us up in the truth of who You are. Help us to know our standing in the Most High God. And Lord, I thank You, I praise You for those things. In Jesus' name. And the body said,
amen.
Amen. Wherefore, remember, so we went backwards to go forwards here. Remember, wherefore, because God has done all these things, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So here Paul is reminding the Gentile church that the Jews used to call them unworthy. There was a bigotry going on. They could have had signs in their yards that Jewish lives matter. Right? They could have had those things back in those days, right? Because that's what's going on today. And so he said, listen, remember that in times past, you were in the flesh. And the Hebrews, those who were of the circumcision, called you uncircumcised. You're just nasty. God doesn't love you. You didn't have the right surgery. Right? And so shame on you. Right? And that's how the Hebrews would look at the Gentile peoples. Verse 12 says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. All right? Listen to who you were. In times past, before you were born, you were an alien to God. You were an illegal alien. You had no right to be part of His commonwealth. You had no right to be part of His grace. You had no right to be part but God. Amen. You had no hope. When you were without Christ, you were an enemy of God, and there was no hope for your eternity. The only hope you had was hell. You may have thought that you had everything in this world or everything that this world could provide, but how many have tried that and it came up empty? Now, I have had all the stuff this world can provide, and none of it can even come close to compare to the goodness and grace of God. Amen? And so you were without God. You had no hope. You were in this world. But, amen? But now, but God, all right? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh, brought close by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get a hallelujah for that? Is there an amen somewhere for that? That one time you were without God, but then sometime God saw you and He said, you I'll die for. You I love. I want to call you out of darkness into my life. I want to give you hope because you were hopeless. I want to make you a people that were not a people. I have called you, and praise God for that. He saw you where you were. He loved you in the middle where you were. And He says, I will pay the blood price for you. Verse 14 says that He is our peace. Woo! Man, I tell you, don't we need some peace today? I tell you what, and if you're trying to find peace in this world, there is none. There's only one place to find peace, and that is in Christ Jesus. That is knowing, as Mike was pointing to the Word, amen? You will find it in the Word, but you'll know it from the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can have a peace that goes way on without understanding. You can have a peace of God that's when the world is just going crazy, you can say, I know Jesus Christ. The world's over. Let the dog do what the dog's going to do. Amen? Amen. You can't stop it. You can't. Just, all right, let him go at it. But as for me, I'm going to rest in Jesus Christ. He is my peace. The storm is raging, but Jesus is still in the boat. Amen? It's hard everywhere, but we have Christ. We have the Savior. We have the Creator of the world who is not just with us, but He is in us. Amen? And we are held in Him in the heavenly places, sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? We have that in Him. So we, of all people, of all the world, out of all the generations, the church ought to be the most joyous people on the planet. So why does it look like y'all been sucking lemons all day? Right? Really and truly. If I was going to a group of folks and said, boy, I want to get some joy, and I come here, you know, like, boom. Like Beaker. Right? Y'all remember the Muppets? Beaker. Oh, that poor fella. He never had a smile on his face. So I'm looking out there and said, man, look at all the Beakers. Smile! Praise God! You're born again. You have a promise. You have hope where there was no hope. You ought to be the most joyous people even on hump day. Right? Even in the middle of the week, it's tough. Man, I could have. It's nothing. It's hot. I hear so many people, it's hot. It's hot.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as it's going to be so cold, it's going to bust the bark off the trees. But it's hot today, all right? So we're all complaining about that. We're all miserable about that. But God, amen, God loves you. He has all these things in control. He is our peace in the middle of the sauna. He is our peace in the middle of the winter. He is our peace in the middle of wartime. He's in our peace when people hate us, when the world comes against us, when Satan comes in like a flood. He is our standard that we can rise high above those problems. Amen. I've heard it said, a fellow was asked how he's doing. He says, well, I'm not doing so good in my condition. Well, wait a second. Why are you bragging about a bad condition? You're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. You're above your conditions. You don't have to be sucked down by the weight of the world. You've been set free by the power, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So what are you moping about? Why are you crying and complaining and whining? You have the peace of God in you and on you. So suck it up, buttercup. Let's move forward from here. We're not going to live in the mully grabs. We're not going to live in defeat. We've been called by the Most High God. He's shown us His love. He bought us when we were not a people. He gave us hope when we were hopeless. He gave us peace when there was no peace on the earth. And we ought to be, of all the people on the whole planet, screaming glory, hallelujah. Amen. You ought to be so excited that God loves even you. Right? That God loves even you, even me. Yeah, well, the Lord loves you. And He is our peace, who has made both one, amen, and hath broken down that middle wall of partition, that dividing wall that was between us and God. Amen? Jesus came, and there was this wall, this wall called sin. And man could not climb over it. He couldn't dig through it. He could not get good enough to get through this separation between the Most High, the Most Holy God, and the creation. Because through Adam, the whole creation fell. And then God sent Jesus the Christ, the perfect sacrifice, to break down that wall. That old Pink Floyd song, "Tear Down the Wall," right? That's what Jesus did. He came and He tore down that wall. He broke it down. There is no separation except the separation that we set up, because Jesus paid it all, right? We forget the second verse or second part of that chorus, "All to Him we owe," right? Jesus paid it all. He broke down that middle way, that separating between us and God. Having abolished. I like that word, abolished. Abolished. That is like tearing it down and sweeping up the residue. There's no scraps of it left. There's no dust left in the room. He abolished it. It is like it was never there. Isn't that good to know? Say that.
Obliterated.
Abolished it. There. I mean, not only did he knock down that wall of separation, but he swept it up too. He cleaned up his mess. He's a good contractor. He's a great carpenter, right? Good carpenter always cleans up his mess. If he doesn't, hire them. So, amen. And so, and he abolished in his flesh the enmity, all right? And because of his holiness, the enmity was sin. The enmity is sin. That separation is the sin that stops us having the entrance way into the most holy place of God. And Jesus came and wiped out the sin debt problem, if you can accept it. Amen? You've got to accept it. It's not just standing up here and talking about knowing it. There's a surrendering that comes in that accepting. Do you really believe it enough to walk in the holiness that's laid out for you? Be holy because He is holy. He says He broke down that enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance of for to make and Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So Jesus came, He completed the law of God. He made the law full. He didn't come to change it. He didn't take one jot or one tittle out of the law. The law will never change. It's God's law. It's a good law. But Jesus came and He fulfilled the law. And He broke down that separation, because no man can get to heaven by obeying the law. We couldn't make ourselves right by obeying the law. So Jesus came and He obeyed the law from the beginning to the end. Right? And then He died, gave Himself as our sacrifice to break down that separation where the law made a separation because no one was good enough. Jesus was good enough. He was God in human form. And He said, "I'm going to tear this down. We're going to tear this down. We're going to make something new, a brand new covenant marked in My blood. Through My righteousness, I will be your covering, your propitiation. I'm going to be what's going to make you able to be able to have contact with the Most High, Most Holy, Most Reverent God, the Creator of all things. Oh, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," amen, "that we could have, we should have eternal life." He paid it all. There's no reason we can't have it. The only thing that's between us and God, us and salvation, is ourselves. Sure. Not humbling ourselves, not submitting ourselves, not walking in the righteousness of God. That's the only thing that separates you. So God says, "I've come and I've made a way where there was no way." And out of the two, the sinful man and the righteous man, out of the two, He made a new man. Amen. Did you ever think of that in yourself? You're a new man. Go ahead and say it. Even you ladies. You're a new man. You're new man. You're brand new. You're brand new because Jesus Christ did away with your old sinful debt. He did away with that and He made something brand new. Brand new. Isn't that good? Right. And now that new man that's in Christ Jesus, if you humble yourself in Him, then now you have free access to the very Most High God. You can go, you don't even have to knock on the door anymore. You can walk right into the office of the Most Holy of All and say, God, hear my prayer. God, forgive my sin. God, renew me again. I need wisdom. And God will dump that on you more than you can understand. You say, I need peace. And God says, I got peace, abundance of peace. I need some joy. God says, I got joy for you. I got it stored up in a warehouse two doors down on the right. The door's open. Go get you some. Right? It's right there. All you got to do is have, well, I need some goodness. I need some kindness. I need some gentleness. I need meekness. He said, I got that in abundance for you. All you got to do is come get some. What's stopping you? I don't believe I can have it. Well, I told you you can have it. Right? Anybody ever try to give their kids something? They say, I don't think I can have it. Well, no, I told you you can have it. I don't think I can have it. Well, then I guess you can't have it. But I told you you can have it. All you got to do is get up off the couch, go to the refrigerator, make a sandwich. You know? Do it. I'm not doing it for you. I did everything I was going to do. I bought the meat. I bought the refrigerator. I stocked it. All you got to do is get yourself up, go over there and do it. Same thing with all those gifts of the Holy Spirit. All those things, all of that that God has for you, Jesus paid for it all. It's all stored up for you. The only thing between you and it is air and opportunity. So don't let the air stop you. Just walk out there, get what God has for you. Amen.
Amen.
But you got to get up. That sandwich ain't going to make itself, as my mama would tell me. You know, sandwich ain't going to make you hungry. Yeah. You want a sandwich? Yeah, but it ain't going to make itself. You know, you got to get up and make it yourself. And so you get up, and you all of this stuff is laid out for you. It's all right there. All we got to do is go get it. It takes a little bit of effort. See, we need to be holy. We need to be righteous. We need to be in the middle of God's will. And doing that, that lets you know that it is open for you. Right? And then you have permission to come and to go. There are no middle law. The two, the old and the new, the old and the law and the sinful man have been torn down. And the twain, the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man, are made a new man, and thus making peace. In verse 16, and that he might reconcile. Oh, y'all been reconciled. All right, I like that word, reconciled. That means to be reestablished. I've been reestablished with God. See, in the garden, Adam and God, they used to chill in the afternoon together, right? And I don't know how many days that they had of it, but it was before Eve got pregnant, so it couldn't be that long. So anyhow, there's that time. When God would come in the cool of the evening every day and sit down and say, hey, Adam, what's been going on? How's it hanging, man? What's going on? You know, did you tell me what was exciting today in your world? And there was that deep fellowship between God and man. Then sin entered in. And that was the last time that God and Adam and Eve chilled in the afternoon in Eden. Something changed. And no longer was Adam and Eve allowed to hang out in the garden anymore. They were thrown out, lest they go and eat the tree of life, which would have left them stuck in their sin for all of humankind, for all of eternity. You could have never been bought out. So God said, to protect you, I'm putting you out of the garden because I love you. And I'm sealing that. You can't get back in until Jesus came. All right, and Jesus came and he made peace from that sin that was created thousands of years. Jesus paid it all. He made it where you could be eat of that tree of life freely, because that's who he is that tree of life. And he wants you to know it. He wants you to know that you can have it. He has reconciled. That means he reestablished. He settled it. He resolved the problem. Amen. It is fixed. Now, I like it. It is fixed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just flip back there just for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul explains it really good in this chapter. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. Amen. Woohoo! Shout. Amen. You can shout. It's Wednesday. Amen. Praise God. Woohoo! All right. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Whoa! Did you see that? Not only did he reconcile us, he gave us the servanthood, the ministry, the job of reconciling with others. You mean I got to reconcile with people? You're right, you do. It's your job, it's your ministry, it's your service. In fact, it is the least you can do, since Jesus did the most he could do for you. Right? And so he gave you that ministry, that servanthood of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Right? Let me ask you, what in your life right now is stopping you from the deep, from being able to get up and run to the refrigerator of God and making a sandwich?
Flesh.
Your flesh. So what do you need to do? You need to be reconciled to God. Sure. All right? If your flesh, if your guilt, if you feel so guilty about your life or something that you're doing that you can't say, God, I am going because you said I could go. Right? If you feel so guilty in yourself that you can't do that, then you need to do something to make that right. God has already forgiven you, has already done it. Now you need to make yourself reconciled to him. Get over yourself. Right? So, and if there's an act of sin in your life that's stopping you from getting into the presence of the Most High God, repent. Stop doing it. Okay? Stop. Stop that. Okay, just stop. You know that you can do it, that you have the power through the Holy Ghost to stop doing those things. You don't have to get drunk. You don't have to watch pornography. You don't have to cuss. You don't have to steal. God gave you the power to get over that, to get past that. He paid the price. He has done away those things. The only reason that we don't let go of them is that we love those things more than we love God. Right? So why can't you quit lying? Well, you love lying more than you love God. Why can't you stop watching filthy stuff on the TV or on the internet? Because you like watching filthy stuff on the TV or internet more than you like God. Right? That's hard, but that's the truth. Because God said, I paid it for you. All you got to do is stop. And when you stop, I will fulfill that part in your life to more than you could ever hope for. Because I was a drunk. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. Right? And God said, listen, Curtis, if you want to come into my house, quit. Quit doing what you're doing, and I will give you the strength to come up here. Right? You want to be free from drugs or alcohol? God says take the one-step program. Step into Christ. Trust Christ. Walk in the obedience of Christ. And I will set you free. And whoever Christ sets free, he is free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
That 12-step program, I know it's probably helped a lot of people, but it's never released them from that sin. Right? They call it an addiction. No, it's sin. And Jesus said, I set you free from that sin. You can be free from that. But you got to want it bad enough to do it. Right? And so he says, and we are, that he has, and hath committed, verse 19, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. All right, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray you that in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ, in him. Amen? I might look at myself one way as a dirty, rotten, worthless sinner. That's how I see myself. But God sees me already seated in the high places of God. He said, I have covered your sin, your unrighteousness, with my righteousness. So why do you keep throwing it in my face? Right? That, when I pray to God, sometimes I confess my wickedness for him. He says, I know that. All right? I know that. Stop reminding me. I forgave you of that, Curtis, 20 years ago. Not only did I forgive you of it, I released you from it. You're no longer that person. You're supposed to be a new creation. So why are you throwing up in God's face what things that you think that you aren't good enough for? You've been reconciled unto God. You've been made right unto Him. Right? You got something?
Yeah, I was just thinking in Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. It's just something I thought about, prayed about. It says that when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against
any,
that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive yourself.
Yourself. Amen. Yeah.
I mean, I think that includes you.
You're that does.
Not only whether you're supposed to forgive yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely. If Jesus
so
forgave you,
you're not forgiving yourself.
Amen. Right? Jesus forgave you of that sin.
Is that a stretch to think that?
Now, I don't think it's a stretch. I don't look like Gumby. You know?
I mean, I thought about it. Is that a stretch? Is that something that, you know, if you have bought against them, you forgive?
Well, are you holding something in your heart, in your mind, that you will not accept the forgiveness of God for? All right? So, all right,
you gotta
think about
yourself.
That.
You gotta forgive yourself.
Yeah, God forgave you.
Yeah.
And the only one who's reminding you of that thing, whatever that thing is.
The hardest person.
Amen.
Is yourself.
Right, is myself. The only reason that I'm not totally living in victory over that is because of me. Right? I haven't said, all right, God, I accept your forgiveness. Right? Oh, when we accept the forgiveness of God over that thing, whatever that thing is in your life, yeah, it was bad. You did whatever you did. I have a list, but I ain't going to throw them out in front of you, and I ain't going to bring them up before God no more. All right? He said, I forgive you. I, God, forgave you for that. So stop wallowing in it. Right? So you can't move forward because of the guilt of whatever. And God said, I set you free from that. I cut the chains of bondage off of you from that. I cut you loose. Now walk in faith.
I reconciled.
It's a done deal. So why do we keep bringing it back up? It's the devil. It is our flesh and Satan and his stronghold over you. Saying, well, if I remind them that they did this,
he was weak.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he hits you on your weak spot, your weak side. But we are not supposed to have a weak side because we're in Christ. Right? So wrap this in your thinking. If you're living in defeat and you think that you're not good enough to go to the refrigerator of God and get you a sandwich. Right? Yeah, I don't deserve a sandwich, God. He said, yeah, I know you don't. Go make one. Right? Yeah, you know, yeah, you don't deserve it, but I paid for it. I bought the bread. I bought the mayonnaise. I bought the meat. It's all bought and paid for. The electricity bill is paid in full for forever. Now get up and make you one. Get over yourself. I can't serve God because of something I did in the past. Well, did Jesus forgive you of that? Anyone got something here that Jesus has not forgiven them over? Yes? No?
No.
All right. So why are we weighed down by that? We're supposed to be reconciled through that. Jesus has paid for it. If you're born again, He paid for it, my brother.
I was going to say, it's written that our sins are as far from us as the
east is from the west, drowned in the deepest parts of the oceans, as we confess our sin. You know, if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar. But if we sin, we have an advocate in the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John somewhere, you know, And so, and if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and he separates them as far as the east is from the west. Right? So, if he's separated them, he's drowned them in the ocean, he's reconciled them, he paid for them, why are we still holding on to them? We're not living in victory because we put ourselves in concrete boots. You can't run very swift in concrete boots. You need some Adidas shoes or some Pumas. You need something that you can be swift of foot in. Actually, what you need is the gospel of peace. That God has made peace with you. Have the preparation of the sandals, the gospel of peace on your feet always. And so forth. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Praise God. That the sinless one became sin for you, for me. He loves you so much that he took on sin. Not your sins, the little scab things that we keep pointing out about each other, but the nature of sin that is on all creation. He took on the sin nature and he defeated it on the cross. He proved it. He sealed it by the resurrection on the third day. Because if he would have rose from the dead, there would be no remission of sin, right? And he had to raise from the dead. And 3 days later, by the glory of God, he did. He paid for it in full, completely and totally. All right? Now we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's where he says that we are his glory for the ages to come. For the ages to come, we are the shining righteousness of Jesus Christ, his Son. As we stand in glory, as we kneel in glory, as we serve in glory. But as we're here on this earth, surrounded by wickedness, we are to be his glory right here, right now. And you can't be his glory in the fullness of the glory that you're called to if you're weighted down by your own unforgiveness. Right? Where you won't accept the atonement of Christ in your life. What I did was too bad to be forgiven of. Show me one place, one sin, and I know someone's going to say the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. All right, but the one sin that you cannot get forgiven of, and of course that is that. But if you've committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you have no want to be around Christ anyhow. Aren't you? I mean, that's completely saying that you don't want Jesus in your life. This is fine. To hell with you. You know, you don't want me, you ain't got to have me. This is America, this is the world, you ain't got to do it. But I paid for it for you. If you want to come, you can come. If you want it, it's available for you. Right? But if you don't want it, I ain't going to force you. I ain't going to twist your arm and make you scream uncle or daddy. You know? That's what, story running off the rails here. So he has reconciled us to himself. If we are increased in Christ, all things are made peace through him. All right? For he is our peace. Back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down that middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in us the enmity, the enemy, even the law, the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Verse 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain, killed, he myrtleized him. Remember, three stones? I'll myrtleize you. He myrtleized sin. He killed it. He did away with it. He is the conqueror of sin. The sin nature, slaying the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that are nigh. Did you see that? Not only did he come to preach to us that were far off, he also came to preach that were very close to him. Salvation was for the Jew first, and then for the Gentile, right? The people who should have known through the grace and the mercy of God, through the holding of the oracles and the commandments of God, having the very testament of God in their hands, they should have known, right? They had the whole thing, right? And he came to make peace with them. He came to make a way that the Hebrew people, the religion that was stopping people from the right relationship with God, he came to break down that barrier also. Not only for the Gentile, but for the Jew also. He loves mankind, humankind. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What do you say? Through whom?
Through him.
Who's him?
Jesus.
Jesus, amen? You can see his name here out loud, right? All right. Through who?
Jesus.
Right. We both have access by one Spirit. Which Spirit?
Holy.
Say it like you know it.
Holy.
The Holy Spirit, amen? By the Holy Spirit. Unto the Father. We have access through the Holy Ghost, through what Jesus did, that gift of the Comforter. If I go away, I will send the Comforter to you, and we will make our abode in you. It tells us that in John 14, right? And so Jesus said, now you have the Holy Spirit of God, and you have access. You got the key. You got the key to the throne room of the Most High God. Doesn't that make you excited? Don't you feel good about that? No, I mean, doesn't that give you a little bit of feeling of victory? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. So, has he done that for you? Do you got it? If you ain't got it, do you want it? Amen? Because it's free. It's available. He paid for it. All you got to do is pick it up. And when you pick it up, when you have access through Christ Jesus, we have victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through him, we are not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Right? There's nothing, there's no weapon formed against us that can prosper. None. Amen? Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus, and he beat Satan on the cross. Yeah, Satan bruised his heel, but he crushed his head. Right? Amen? And so now, therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Amen? We're fellow citizens. In Roman time, you could buy your citizenship to be a Roman, but it cost you. Remember the centurion that had Paul in prison, and he said, I bought my citizenship, and Paul said, I'm a citizen by birth. You're a citizen in the Most High God through rebirth. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? Because you were outside, and he paid the citizenship price for you, that you could have oneness with the Father through the Spirit. Amen? You got the key, baby. So why are you still locked up in your chain? If you got the key to set yourself free through the power of Christ, why are we so weighed down by stuff? Right? Daniel. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Jesus the cornerstone, right? He is the corner. He said, he sent out his disciples. They came back. He said, what do the people say who I am? Some say that you're John the Baptizer raised again. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're some other prophet. And Jesus asked his disciples and say, but who do you say that I am? And old Peter, he said, you are the Son of the Most High God. And Jesus said, Peter, upon that rock I will build my church. Upon that confession, I'm going to build the church. I'm going to build, and now we are part of that building if you hold to that confession. Right? If you hold to the cornerstone that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. And through him we have access. Through him we have an ability. Through him we have the promises. Through him we have the adoption. Through him we have been reconciled unto God. right? And as Paul is writing this, now we are to be built together. Built together. Now, y'all know how buildings go together, right? What if this building wasn't truly joined together in all of the joints? The 2x4s in the wall really weren't connected to the rat seal or to the header. They're just sitting there. The bricks on the outside really weren't fastened together. They were just stacked up. The roof on here, not a nail, not a piece of glue, they're just stacked there very neatly. What happens when the wind blows? The building falls down. See, so that we've got to be fastened, joined, built together, forsaking not the assembly, right? So when the government tells you not to come together, we say that Jesus told me, I am a built together in this, I'm locked in. So, what?
Too late.
Too late. I'm not doing it. I'm not separating. I'm not tearing down what Jesus has built. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care how many times they tell you to put on a face mask. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. So you heard that today, and I'm sorry, this is off, but this is the end of the sermon anyhow. So this is today. Walmart made a decree that you cannot go into Walmart without a face mask in America. All right? Yeah, they won't let you in.
How about a Halloween mask?
And, well, they said, yeah, I was thinking about that. I was going to get an OKKK mask. See if they let me in on that, you know? Anyhow, I'm sorry, I would not do that. That's, my wife said, you won't do it. And I won't do that. I won't do that. But a Halloween mask probably wouldn't be a bad thing. You know, a big plastic pumpkin. They're probably cheap right now, too. Yeah. And so, anyhow, I digress. All right? And I don't want to take away from what the Spirit of God has done already tonight. God loves you. God is absolutely in control. And I believe right now something is happening in the spiritual realms. Because Jesus said at the end of time, in the end of days, I'm going to separate the tares from the wheat. I'm going to separate the sheep from the goat. Right? And he's making, there's a clear battle line being drawn. Right? And it's real soon there's going to come up an identification marker. Right now it's a mask. If you don't wear the mask, you can't buy sell in Walmart. And if Walmart does it, you know, Home Depot's right behind them. That means Lowe's is right behind them. The corner grocery, here in town, the Tractor Supply already ran me out because I wouldn't wear a mask. You got that too? Yeah. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it.
I was just in CVS the other day, but I'm hoping they're not going to stop that.
And they very well may. You know, they very well may. But it's starting out with a mask, right? After the mask, there's going to be a vaccine. And they're going to have a marker in that vaccine. And if you don't mark right, if you go to the store and your beeper goes off when you walk through the doors at Walmart and that little thing, because the vaccine is going to have a marker in it, and if you go beep, 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 when you walk in, they will put you out. Because you're unclean.
That's supposed to change your DNA.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to change a lot of stuff, sister. It's going to change a lot of stuff. People, I've talked to a lot of people, they don't believe that this is the mark of the beast. And it may not be the mark of the beast, but it's definitely a forerunner of the mark of the beast. We need to be ready. Right?
Well, if it's got an ID and you can't buy and sell without it.
That's what, hey, isn't that what it says? It's the number of a man. Right? And so anyhow, what is Gates' number? Bill Gates, if you took
his number?
Yeah. 666. So anyhow, I don't know. There's a lot in that, and I'm not going to chase down a conspiracy or nothing like that. But these are the facts. Walmart said today that if you do not wear a mask, you're not allowed in their stores. Around all across America.
Today, starting today.
Yeah, that
starts next week.
Starts next week. The decree happened today, and they're giving you a week. Darius gave you a decree.
Stock up on what you need.
Yeah, stock up on what you need, right? Because you can't bring anything back anyhow.
That's That's right.
Did you know that? All right, I know we ought to turn off the thing. Yeah, so.